As I was governor of New York on September 11th, I felt the horror. I knew victims. When I was leading New York through its recovery on that day with Rudy Giuliani and George Bush, I felt the flames and could taste the air. And I vowed then that this country, so long as I had anything to say about it, was never going to bow down to radical Islam again. We were never going to forget the lesson of September 11th. That lesson to me is clearer today than it's ever been. We thought before September 11th, because Al-Qaeda was overseas, an ocean, a continent, tens of thousands of miles away, it didn't pose a threat to us in New York. We paid a horrible cost, a horrible penalty for not realizing the threat they posed to us in America. Today, ISIS poses as large a threat, if not greater, to America, not just cities like New York, but communities across America. And we have got to stand up and defeat radical Islam over there before they can attack us here. And let me, thank you. And let me just give you two examples. Think what happened in this country in the last few months. Garland, Texas, an American radicalized by another American in the name of jihad would have killed dozens of innocent American citizens but for a Texas cop. Think of what happened in Chattanooga, Tennessee. An American radicalized by jihadists killed our Marine recruiters before he was finally killed. We have got to shut down ISIS or any radical Islamic group's ability to recruit, to radicalize, or to proclaim and urge jihad anywhere in the United States, regardless of where that message comes from. You know, I'm a great believer in the First Amendment. Freedom of speech matters. But you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. You cannot tell a fellow American to kill your other Americans in the name of jihad. That's not protected speech. That is a crime, and they have to be shut down and arrested, whether they're preaching it on the internet, in our prisons, or from the mosques in this state. We have to protect America's freedom. And by the way, the response of this administration to our Marine recruiters being shot was for them to take off their uniforms. America is not going to bow down when I'm president to radical Islam anywhere in the world, and certainly not in the United States. Our Marine recruiters shouldn't be taking off their uniforms. They should be putting on their guns, and we will be a lot safer across this country. But it's not just enough to ignore the fact that ISIS has recruiting centers, training centers, planning hubs, hundreds of millions of dollars, sophisticated weapons, social network capability, and thousands of people with Western passports. We have got to destroy their training centers and planning centers over there before they have a chance to attack us here again. And let me tell you what I do. First, directly aid the boots on the ground, which this administration is not doing. The Kurdish army is fighting ISIS, but they're not getting the supplies, the training, the financing, and the help they deserve from us. I will provide aid directly to those Kurds. The Sunni sheikhs in Anbar don't like ISIS. They'd like to fight them, but they can't get any help from Baghdad, and this administration doesn't send any aid directly to them. I would do that as President of the United States. We would ramp up our bombing efforts to destroy those planning and recruiting centers. And if need be, I would send in American special ops to destroy those recruiting centers, those planning hubs, those places where they are organizing to attack us here, destroy them, kill them there, and get out before they have the chance to attack us here. Now, let me say, I don't say this lightly. I don't want a 10-year war. I don't want $1 trillion spent trying to create a democracy in a part of the world where one hasn't existed. I have two sons. My older son, when he graduated from college, became a Marine officer and served as a lieutenant for a year in Anbar in Iraq. My younger son, after college, became a lieutenant and served in the 10th Mountain Division and got back from Afghanistan last September. I know what it's like for a parent to lie awake at night, worried about getting a phone call you pray never comes when your loved ones are in harm's way. But I also know what it's like to see the chaos and devastation of an attack like September 11th occur right here in America, and we can never let that happen again. We will prevent ISIS from attacking us here, whatever it takes, but we will not risk one American life unnecessarily. So I started out by saying, you're going to hear a lot of candidates. They're all going to talk about, I'll do this, I'll do that. Ask them, how are they going to do it? Have they done it? And what is their vision as to how they're going to protect America in the 21st century? I have had a privilege of leading one of the great states of America, the state of New York, for 12 years. I got elected as a Republican conservative three times. I'm the only person ever in the history of New York State to run and win as both a Republican candidate and a Conservative Party candidate. I got reelected by the two largest majorities ever for a Republican in the history of New York State. And that's a state where in the last 93 years, there have only been two other Republicans elected, period. And they were both liberal Republicans. I can win this election. I can change Washington. I can change America and bring Americans together. I did it in New York. I will do it in Washington. We are one America. We stand together. There's nothing we can't accomplish. And whether it's here in Iowa or anywhere in America, we should believe, and it should be true, that the 21st century is one of unlimited opportunity and the greatest century America has ever had. So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to me.